It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Catholic Health. And by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Sabres homestand continues. We'll get to Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. I said continues. They did just play in Detroit, but they've got home games coming up this week. Tonight, the Ottawa Senators, who are 6-5. And later on, it's going to be, what, Calgary, the Rangers on the road. I guess it's not a homestand. Back and forth a couple times. But some home dates coming up. They're home on Saturday. They're home on Monday as well. But Ottawa tonight. And we'll check in with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff in just a moment. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is NFL trade deadline day. You can give us a call on that, on what you think the Bills need to add. Kind of waiting for, I'll be honest, Joe, I'm waiting for a trade to drop today, right? Where's the trade coming from? Who's going to be the first? So,
and then maybe a dam bursts and we get a bunch after that.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. And, of course, continuing coverage, it is election day. If you want to get continuing coverage of everything with regard to that, our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN, has your election coverage today, tomorrow, and probably for maybe a couple days. I mean, you know, how it tends to go lately. So 803-0550 to join us. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff ahead of tonight's game with Ottawa. Lindy, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Morning, gentlemen. Yeah, you're welcome.
So, Lindy, want to start with Dylan Cousins and what's going on there. The move from him to wing, and if he's going to go back to center, was that something that you wanted to just try out? Is it an experiment? Is it an ongoing kind of thing to try and help Dylan find his game or whatever you're looking for him from him
yeah,
in his game?
It was really a short-term try to just try to free him up where he could maybe get a couple looks and then defensively doesn't have that big a responsibility. But I think as you saw in the Detroit game, we went right back to putting him back in the middle. When I look at the last couple games, his chances went up. He was in on two or three really good opportunities in Detroit. He was in on a 2-1 that you'd like to see our guys finish. It was just a quick look, and he's back in the middle.
You know, you're talking about chances and finish. One thing I wonder, Lindy, if you're talking with numbers guys or looking into the data on the team and you're seeing good things from shot creation and expected goals and things look good, but the results aren't there, are you one to not want to talk about how things are going well? Or is there a expiration date on how many times you can feel like things look good and the results should come, but something is still missing?
Well, what is missing is finish, really. You know, there's plenty of opportunities. You know, if I use the Detroit game as an example, we had probably 3 or 4 really good opportunities to convert and make that a 2-0 game, which would take stress off of our defensive game. The lack of finish has been one of the things that concerns me. That even yesterday's practice, the drills we set up were set up to try to put the players in the best position to finish opportunities. We can go back to our Los Angeles King game, which was probably our best offensive game when it came to creating high quality inner slot shots, but didn't finish, where we put the opposition's goalie as the first star of the game. And I think when you don't finish those opportunities, then again, you're in position where, one mistake can let the other team back in the game. And that's where we've been sitting. We need to get a balanced scoring attack, and we need to finish. And it is going to be the focus of really what we're trying to do here in between games now till it starts to happen.
To bring about better finishing, one thing I'm seeing a lot is data on missing the net. I mean, is it about simplifying things? A lot of times, Lindy, people will say, pucks to the net is simpler, but do you need a finer point on it instead? What is the answer?
I mean, great question, because we have to miss the net less. Some of your best shooters, they have to be able to pick that corner, and if that little corner is all that's available and you miss by an inch or two, you've got to miss net. But I think when you're in an area where the chances of a puck going in are really poor, or it is a really low percentage, say you're shooting from out just around the dot or outside the dot, then those types of opportunities need to hit the net to create the next opportunity. And I think that's where our opportunities and shots on net have to increase, where we don't miss the net as often. You look at the Detroit game, the cross-ice one-timers, and the one-timers are, they're a tough shot to hit with real high accuracy. But again, we missed the net. Dahlin had probably three opportunities. Zucker had a couple great opportunities. Owen Power shot one back into the goalie with an open net. So we're creating the opportunities. And like I said, yesterday's focus was to try to put them in a position where they felt good about getting those opportunities in practice and finishing those opportunities.
Is there any change in style as a coach when that starts happening game after game? Or is there any more priority on getting dirtier goals, or is that always going to be part of it?
No, it does put a priority on getting around the net more. Tip goals, second opportunity goals where pucks have gone over the off the goaltender, maybe even off the back wall where you see some situations. The importance of taking your turn when it's your turn to get around net front, when our defense are shooting a puck, if you're that low forward, just either taking the goalie's eyes away by being in front of him, a flash screen where you're skating through the front of his eyes and then stopping around the net. I think if you look at the chaos that we created, 6-on-5 late, where we got a puck on goal, it came to Jack Quinn and just bounced over his stick, and probably if it doesn't hit Quinn's stick, Paterka's putting it in the empty net. So I think those types of chaotic situations, we have those inside of a game. I thought we had some great shifts offensively that didn't even result in an attack on net. So I think those are the ones where we got to get inside and we've got to be prepared to get a little bit uglier.
In terms of tonight's game, Lindy Ruff with us on the Wester Hotline. Zach Benson back practicing. Any update on what his status might be for tonight's game?
Yeah, we've had initial discussions already this morning. When he gets in this morning, we're going to see how he's doing. We feel that he's close. It's an opportunity, I think, to put him in tonight. Realizing that we are putting him in with only one practice, but I feel that he's the type of guy that can help us. His puck play and making the small plays around the net is one of his strengths, and I think that's an area that we do have to be better. So we'll see when he gets in this morning if he's good. If yesterday's practice didn't affect him, then I think it's an opportunity for us to put him in the lineup.
Lindy, with the record being what it is, when we were talking to you in the offseason, it was a lot about how it's time to win, and the group has talked like that even since the end of last year. How do you feel like the whole building, you, the team, is dealing with the early results? I mean, the players have been through this a couple of times, not every year they've been together, but I have to imagine there's a certain level of frustration for everybody involved that the losses are starting to pile up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, for sure. And totally understand that. I think that my job is to just focus in on the process here, that we are creating plenty of chances to win a game. We have to eliminate some big individual mistakes that have hurt us. And I think the big individual mistakes really stand out when you're not finishing. And I mentioned, you know, it puts a stress on your defensive game. But stay with it. It's not like you have to change the way you're playing. The opportunities are there. And we got to continue with it. And we know that if we continue down that road, we're going to win a lot of hockey games.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. I know sometimes, Lindy, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. You know, goalies sometimes, I mean, it's not something you want to blame the goalie. The breakdown's in front. But on goals save above expected, it feels like there's room for improvement, I guess is what I'll say, with both Devin Levi and Ukko Pekka Luukkonen, that there have been times you've needed saves and those haven't come through either at the other end of the ice.
Yeah, I think that it's all related. We need that area to be better to make that key save at a crucial time. Even if you look at the Detroit, the one power play goal, that's a save you'd like your goaltender to make. Inside of the game, made a lot of good saves, but again, our finish needs to improve. Our rush defense has been better, but it has to continue to get better. And our goaltenders do have to be a big part of it, and they need to be better as well.
On the blue line, we spent a lot of time talking with you on the forward group and the finishing and whatnot. On the blue line, noticing Byram practicing with Dahlin a little bit, are you still searching for the right partner for a top pair, or should I even label it that? Are you more looking for two top pairs that are playing similar minutes, or do you want someone playing with Dahlin for a big, big chunk of the game?
I think Dahlin's the type of guy that can play, you know, with several guys, and he can consume the big minutes. I thought by far his best game in Detroit when it came to creating opportunities. I think he had 14 shot attempts. When you go back and watch the game, you know, just missed on a couple great opportunities, hit a goalie in the shoulder. But he's a special individual that, you know, I think can play that, you know, 25 to 30 minutes. He tried to put the team on his back and get us back in that 2-1 game. And I thought with the looks he had, and you're playing him every second shift, then there's got to be multiple players he plays with. So, you know, we're looking at a game like that to get our best players their top ice time and see if they can make the difference.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Tonight it's Ottawa. Lindy, what can you tell us about the Senators, another young team in the division, a very familiar foe?
Yeah, good speed. As you said, they got a real good group, a young defense. They got some defensemen that can really skate. Their power play has been extremely dangerous. Hasn't created a lot of opportunities, but when they do it, they've been able to finish. So it's really important that we don't give that group a lot of opportunities to take advantage of us.
All right. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy, thanks very much. Best of luck tonight, and we'll chat next week.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Lindy.
Sabres and Senators this evening at KeyBank Center. Pregame, Steve Foley Law, pregame, 6 o'clock, puck drop, 7 o'clock. We have our first trade in the NFL of the day.
Za'Darius Smith
to the Lions. Mike Florio had reported that looked like it was going to happen. It has happened.
Yep.
So, 3-time Pro Bowl defensive end Za'Darius Smith going to the Lions for late pick stuff. It is Za'Darius Smith, I'm getting it here, a 5th and a 6th. It's Za'Darius Smith and a 7th for a 5th and a 6th.
I mean, some of these trade prices are just like nothing.
And
burgers,
if you'd like to know, hey, from a cap standpoint, could the Bills do this? The answer to this is yes.
Yeah.
This year on the cap, he's like $600,000. Next year, he's $11 million, but non-guaranteed.
Okay.
So
5 sacks and 9 games this year.
Yes, the Bills could have done
this. Very good. And as I mentioned earlier, like the pass rush win rate stuff, he's tied with Rousseau for 13th in the league. So he's very good on the underlying numbers, too.
If you're someone that really, really wants the Bills to make a trade, it's kind of like Sabres deadline day back when, you know, that day used to matter. I don't mean that just from the Sabres, but like the league in general. Yeah. The NHL trade deadline, it really has become a snooze. And the NFL trade deadline has become better, in my opinion.
Oh, so much better.
You've got to
think it's at the level that it, like when I was growing up, deadline day was like a holiday.
Yeah,
the NHL. It was like, we're going to get moves. Even the Sabres might disappoint you and only make like one whatever, but the league would be making moves.
Yeah, this
and
is.
And this is, that's the NFL now.
And this is a hold your evaluation until the end. Because Za'Darius Smith moving for that price, I'm surprised the Bills wouldn't pay that price. They very well could. I think they probably have a different move. I think the Bills will definitely make a trade today.
And you think, the way you're sounding, you would favor defensive line?
Yes. I think it's the most likely spot that they make an addition. Although safety has to be considered in the mix, and you wonder if they do trade away
Mike Edwards,
who wants to go somewhere else, according to Jeremy Fowler. So, Za'Darius Smith to the Lions makes a lot of sense. They lost Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
This is their Rasul Douglas trade. We lost a starter. Let's get a starter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they go big game hunting because he's good. He's really good.
And they think they can win a Super Bowl.
Yes, and they probably should think that.
I mean,
the teams that are making trades, right? It's so far the Lions, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens.
The Jets, but that's a little bit of a different.
Trying to save their season.
Yeah.
And the Jets is a little different.
You said Baltimore.
The Steelers likely will. Right?
Maybe. They've been trying. Who's left for them to get? That's going to be the Darius Slayton trade.
Do you want another name that's out there that's like a pipe dream of a name?
Ooh, I love pipe dream names. Yes. Yes, I would love one. Is it a receiver?
Uh-huh.
It's not Tyreek Hill?
No.
Is it... Who? I don't know. On a bad team? Oh, not on a bad team? Like a mid team?
Yeah.
Metcalf.
Yep.
Ah, I knew it. I've thought of him in the past because he is someone that's going to need a contract soon. Are they tied for first in the division, though? What are they going to trade their best player?
That division's a schmozzle. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Right, which they might think they can still win it easily.
They could.
They're half a game back of Arizona, I think.
I just don't see.
I would call, though. I would love to call. He is. I mean, that's a dreamy idea, I think.
Yeah.
Man, he is. Yeah, I mean, he's hurt right now, but he'll be back maybe this week or next week. And he has one more year in his contract after this season. And his base salary this year is $1.1 million. So he would be very easy, it looks like, for a team to acquire.
Metcalf?
Yeah. You want to do that?
I mean, always, but
I'm waiting. Offer him a first?
I'm waiting to trade for Olave in the offseason. That's my plan for the Bills. Trade for Chris Olave.
The Saints are a team now that will probably blow it up and sell, right? Like they fired their coach.
They can't right now
because of the cap stuff.
Off season, they might be able to do something, but right now their cap is so bad that they
can't even sell because they'd have to take on dead money.
Yes,
that's insane.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right.
So here we are. First trade in the books. The Browns, who traded Amari Cooper, have now traded Za'Darius Smith.
Good for the Lions, by the way. Finally, for the first time in like a century, like being great. And like buying at the deadline.
Arizona made a buying move. Baron Browning. Edge rusher for them. Linebacker edge rusher for them. Like, they made a buying move.
Right, yeah.
This sport, I mean, you'll probably get more significant moves. The NHL trade deadline is what, like often depth defenseman or a rental second liner?
Well, you do still get like the odd big name player that's traded in the NHL, but in the NHL now it is never on deadline day.
No, it's like a week before.
And in the NFL you'll get that too, but you're still getting big names on deadline day that make an impact. Za'Darius Smith is going to be important to the Lions versus, you know, right. The Rangers pick up some fourth line guy who's going to play 7 minutes a night. I think it's very different. Will Smith be the biggest name that gets traded today?
I don't know. How big of a name is he? A three-time Pro Bowler? Will a four-time Pro Bowler be traded today? Like, how many Pro Bowls does Mike Williams have? Did he make a bunch with the Chargers back in the day? Probably not four.
Is that live for the Bills at all?
Isn't
he kind of Coleman-esque?
Yes, I've got almost no use for Williams unless Coleman's hurt.
Well, that's the isn't that what they're doing? Is that what we're doing here?
We're waiting to find out if he's hurt.
Right. Like, aren't they only trading for a receiver if Coleman's hurt? So then wouldn't you want a Coleman guy? You don't want a slot guy to replace Coleman.
No. I'll tell you who you want.
You want Mike. I think if you want someone to fill in Coleman's snaps, okay, if he's hurt, I think Mike Williams is kind of the same type of player.
Yeah, no thanks. Instead of that, I mean, you want DK Metcalf.
Sure, right. But he's just electric.
And like, there's one more that I don't think this, from a cap standpoint, I've got to find like Mike Genet the latest on this. I don't know what the Courtland Sutton cap hit is, but that's who you want.
Courtland Sutton.
If you have to replace Coleman for a little while, I think you want Courtland Sutton myself.
Someone asked me about Beckham also.
No thanks.
For like a seventh. No, he hasn't done anything. He had a couple catches on Sunday. He actually got lucky that his knee was down because he fumbled the ball that Elam ripped out. Sutton this year is looking at a $1.2 million base salary. Next year is the year you have to have money ready for him.
Okay.
$13 million base salary next year, $20 million cap it. Right now, though, I think you could do it, I think, pretty easily.
The Bills are pretty fluid at receiver right now because, you know, over the weekend there was the guy from Ole Miss, Jordan Watkins, I think, who scored five touchdowns. And I tweeted, you know, future Bills receiver Jordan Watkins. And someone wrote back like, oh, the wide receiver train's over because Keon Coleman's too good. Like, oh, absolutely not. Like, if the season ended right now, Mac Hollins is gone. Amari Cooper is not on the team right now.
Right.
I don't know if Cooper, if they want to re-sign him, if he wants to be re-signed, what that number looks like. I mean, he's coming off a five-year, $100 million contract and has put up good numbers through that time. Like, look at the kind of money that Beckham got off of what? Two missed seasons? He still got like $15 million a year.
On a one-year deal, yeah.
And I don't know what kind of money the Bills are going to want to commit to Amari Cooper. Of course, you got to see how it works still. But right now, the receiving core going into next year is Coleman, Shakir, and Curtis Samuel. That's a team that needs a receiver. If they re-sign Cooper, okay, you know, call the dogs off a little bit. But we're still, if we're thinking about like Metcalf,
yeah.
If Metcalf can be had, or if Courtland Sutton, isn't Courtland Sutton the same as Rasul Douglas? This guy can play and he's under contract for one more year. Gives us some flexibility to do some things.
Is he too good though for? Are a couple of these names too good for? Coleman's coming back, and what are we looking for here? Are we looking for a receiver that is a good depth piece, or are we looking for someone to supplant Coleman? Because to me, you trade for Courtland Sutton, you're supplanting Keon Coleman.
Well, you're then having three guys that play those two positions, basically.
Right.
You're just...
But you have a guy now that, when everyone's healthy, you need to still put him on the field. Versus, if they go trade a seventh for KJ Osborne and Keon Coleman comes back, Osborne just goes to the bench and you don't worry about it.
How different...
Sutton, you have to play him, I think.
How different is that than the Ravens just got Deontay Johnson? I mean, they have Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers.
Is that different, though, because Bateman... They've done this for 4 years now with Bateman.
That's
Coleman
right.
just got here, and they're going to want him to play. They're going to want him to develop, and he's earned the playing time. That's the other thing.
That's right. But
it's a good point, because, right, they didn't have to replace Bateman.
No.
But they did.
And earning playing time versus, hey, we like where this is going, but this is about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that could – again, I still think that their most likely move is on the defensive line, and maybe Mike Edwards getting traded away.
One other name that a tweeter just asked us about is Tyler Boyd in Tennessee.
No.
Slot, right?
Yeah, I just don't think I need any slot.
He used to be able to play on the outside, but I don't think he's done that for a couple years.
He caught a touchdown against the Bills on the outside last time they played the Bengals.
Yes, he did. That's been a couple years.
Yep.
I don't think he does that much anymore.
And that was with Jamar Chase in the slot on that play. And
right.
Grabbing some attention.
Yep.
T. Higgins, anyone? I mean, the Bills definitely can't afford that cap hit. So he might get moved somewhere, but there's probably not a lot of teams that are going to do it. Deadline day. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call, 803-0550. Of course, keep it locked here. I do think the Bills will make a move. I don't know what it'll be, but I do think they will. First one on the board is the Lions. This is Za'Darius Smith. Not a surprise. They get pass rush help with the injury to Aiden Hutchinson. You can give us a call at 803-0550 if you'd like. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Really a short-term try to just try to free him up where he could maybe get a couple looks and then defensively doesn't have that big a responsibility. But I think as you saw in the Detroit game, we went right back to putting him back in the middle. When I look at the last couple games, his chances went up. He was in on two or three really good opportunities in Detroit. He was in on a 2-1 that you'd like to see our guys finish. So, no, it was just a quick look, and he's back in the middle.
Lindy Ruff on Dylan Cousins and the brief stint he had on the wing. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Election Day. Happy NFL Trade Deadline Day. We'll continue to track that. You want to track the election news, Radio 930 WBEN. You want to track the trade deadline right here.
Is there an election today?
Yes.
I hadn't heard about it.
We are voting you as man of the year.
It's about time. So I'm standing in line. I get out. I go out early. I figured 6:15. Let me get out before the lines get too bad. Right, standing in line. Perfect strangers around me, and of course the conversation.
Oh, Belky Bartakamoose and cousin Larry Appleton.
No, not the TV show. People I don't know are in line with me, and of course the conversation goes right to, can you believe those Chiefs freaking won last night again in overtime?
Who in their right mind can't believe it at this point?
That's why I said to them. I said I turned the game off. Because I knew what was going to happen. I'm watching thinking, I even tweeted out, hey, you know, if the Bucks win, Bills are a half game behind the Chiefs, but I knew what was going to happen. You're going to think the Chiefs are going to lose. They are losing. I didn't factor in the Mahomes possible injury that wasn't an injury.
Of course. And then sometimes he's got to make it a little more dramatic.
And I saw your tweet. So I went to bed knowing what was coming. There was not the controversial flag that allowed a Chiefs drive to continue to win the game. That was the one thing missing, but I knew they were going to come back and win, and I couldn't watch it.
The yellow didn't go their way, but the coin did.
So yeah, the coin toss.
The coin just replaced the
flag. And by the way, that's a great idea. Let's play for overtime with 30 seconds to go because you want to take a gamble against Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because that never works out against the Chiefs. Go for the 2 points. Granted, with 30 seconds, as we know, he could still lead a game-winning field goal drive, but why would you possibly play for overtime against Patrick Mahomes?
It's a great question.
Unbelievable. But whatever, I'm not angry.
All right. By the way, for those of you out there that like this kind of thing, the New York Times playoff machine is back.
Ooh, yes!
The bad news is, it's not that fun for the Bills.
Oh, well, yeah. It's,
chance to make it, 99%. Chance to win division, 99%.
99, really?
I mean, the Chiefs are 96% to win their division. The Bills are 99%.
Well, there are actual teams with winning records in the Chiefs division.
All right, here's the fun question for you. Fun question for you and Joe. According to the New York Times playoff machine, there are three teams, that have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than the Bills. Who are the three teams?
Obviously Kansas City.
Yes. The Bills have a 10% chance. The Chiefs have a 19% chance.
Wow, double.
Lions.
The Lions, 19% chance. And there's one more team ahead of the Bills on chance to win the Super Bowl at 11%.
Ooh. It's got to be Baltimore, right, Joe? It can't be Pittsburgh. It can't be anybody from the NFC West.
It might not
be. The NFC East.
It might not because they have a fight in their division still. And the odds of them going on the road are going to be higher in the playoffs.
The Falcons? Can't be them. I mean, they'll walk to the division.
Maybe we shouldn't overthink it. Maybe it's Baltimore.
Baltimore, 8%, below the Bills.
Is this...
It's not the Chargers.
Is it Houston?
Oh, Houston. We forgot Houston.
4%.
4%.
Wow.
You don't respect that.
Houston just above the Steelers at 3%.
Wow.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons, 4%.
The Commanders.
Commanders, 3%.
That was a good guess, though, Joe. I like that one. I just figured. It's a good effort on your part.
Is there someone obvious we're missing?
No, this will make you mad.
This will make... Wait. Oh, hold on. That's a hint. What will make us the most mad? New England.
No.
Okay. What will make us the most
it'll
mad?
It'll make me mad, too. This team
stinks. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, the Steelers, 3%. This team stinks.
Well, the Steelers stink.
This team stinks.
They stink. They're the worst.
Oh, the Eagles?
The Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl.
The Eagles, 11%.
Their record's inflated. They're not as good as their... The Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl.
No. All right, let's get to Howard Picks the Bills. All right. And I'll punch it in the playoff machine as we go.
A tradition unlike any other.
All right, well, let's get you to pick the Bills here because that's what the people want. They're outside our windows chanting.
I thought I saw a group
pick
of people with signs
Bills.
That said pick the Bills.
Pick the Bills. Howard's going to pick the Bills.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
Did you guys know that Josh is 13-2 against the Dolphins in his career? He's never lost a home game to them. Win, baby.
Here's the snap. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Wide open, Ray Davis. 45-50. 45-40. Still on his feet. He's going to go. 20-10-5. Touchdown, Ray Davis. Snap by Ferguson. Hold by Martin. Kick by Bass is long enough. And it is good. Bombs away for Tyler Bass, who bombs it from 61. It's a career best for the Bills kicker. Unbelievable.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Can you be as good at predicting as Sneaky Joe has been this morning? Predicting that don't buy Chase Brown yet because the Bengals might trade for a running back. They have.
I was just going to
Khalil
bring that up.
Herbert
good,
from
Joe.
The Bears to the Bengals.
Yep.
Khalil Herbert goes to Cincinnati.
Yep.
If you have him in any fantasy leagues,
Herbert.
That's probably a really good piece to have.
He's probably available in your league. And he is sneaky good. He just got displaced by Swift.
Yep.
I think he's going to be their number one back going forward.
Second trade of the day. Howard, before you pick this remaining schedule, do you expect the Bills to make a trade today?
I do. I'm with you, Jeremy. I think because of the Carter and Smoot injuries, I'd like to see him get a depth piece on the defensive line somewhere.
Are the Bears sellers and we didn't realize it?
No,
or do you think
sellers.
This is more it's just seven, they had
it's a
running back?
Seventh round pick for Khalil Herbert.
Right, so it's not quite.
I can't decide if that makes you more of a seller or not. Like, sure, we'll take a seventh round pick.
Yeah. But I know they're very unhappy with Keenan Allen right now. I don't think that's a Bills idea because he's slot, but they're very unhappy with Keenan Allen. Like, the out of shape stuff in training camp, I guess it's just not been on the same page with Williams all year, although I guess none of them have.
They should have kept Darnell Mooney. He was the one to keep.
Yeah, really. He's great.
All right. Howard picks the Bills, and I punch it in the New York Times playoff machine. 99% to make the playoffs. Bills at Colts. Indy just had its worst game of the year offensively.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would have been a little nervous about facing Flacco instead of Anthony Richardson, but man, they look terrible. Now, Minnesota's a good defense, right? They have a very good scheme. They confuse people and all that.
They blitz a ton.
The Bills aren't going to blitz like Minnesota. Nobody blitzes like Minnesota does. But boy, yeah, Flacco looked really bad. Even Jonathan Taylor was subpar. They didn't do anything well on offense. So I will pick the Bills to beat the Joe Flacco-led Colts.
Okay. Very good.
8-2.
I think that's right. 8-2. Do the Chiefs beat the Broncos? Joe, you pick the Chiefs. Where's the game?
At Denver?
The game is, you'll be stunned to find out. It's at Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, Lord. I'll pick the Chiefs.
That's okay.
Whenever, why ask the question where the Chiefs are playing? Why even bother? Every game.
That's okay. They come here unbeaten.
That's right.
And then the Bills will hand Kansas City their first loss of
Bills
the season.
Bills win.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
If the Chiefs were to win that game, they would start to get picked to go unbeaten. They are favored in every game remaining except the Bills game.
Okay.
Right now, they are underdogs.
That would liven that game up a little more, too. Not just beat the Chiefs, but stop them from joining
ruining
the
rest of our lives.
Hold on.
17-0.
There is another circle of hell.
Or they're 18-0.
That is now, hey, the Bills ended their perfect season and then lost to them in the playoffs as they won the Super Bowl anyway.
My goodness.
It's another level of disappointment.
I don't care with that, ending any possibility that they're about to go like 18-0.
Don't care. That game doesn't matter. The second matchup is going to matter. They could be 17-0
no,
in the
you're
AFC
right. it's
championship
what you, it's what you do in the playoffs against them. It always is what you do against the playoffs.
I mean, a game does matter. Against. Anyway, you picked him to win, so that's good.
Yes, sir. Take the Bills to win.
Niners. The Niners have opened the practice window for Christian McCaffrey. He's expected to play maybe this week.
Well, that would that's interesting because I'm actually going to make this a win for the Bills today. But if McCaffrey does play, I will revisit that and possibly change that. I'll take a win for now.
One scary part about him.
The times I've watched the Niners, I know McCaffrey's been out. Kittle was banged up. Debo, I get it. They've had a ton of injuries. But, man, Purdy just doesn't look right too many times.
Yeah, he's scrambling more than double the amount of times that he has in previous years. He's scrambling at like 10% rate. I don't think he's ever been more than 5.
So I'll take the Bills then.
Because no one's open. Not in comparison to him.
The one thing I'd worry about is the way Achane, I mean, he ran well against the Bills, but he caught the ball out of the backfield really well.
Yep.
And the Bills right now are giving that up. And if McCaffrey's back,
right. that's why
I'd be
think
a little nervous about that.
That's why I'm saying win now, but I reserve the right because if McCaffrey plays, I think that changes the dynamic in the game.
Bills at Rams, who are back to respectability. They have three really good receivers. Kupp and Puka get all the headlines, but DeMarcus Robinson is really good. He was with the Chiefs last year. He's with the Rams now. He's putting up big fantasy points. If you got him stashed anywhere, he's good. Kyren Williams is good. A Stafford against this defense matchup, I think, is a lot of fun.
You know what? You sold me. I am actually going to pick the Rams to win this football game. I'm going to throw a little curveball at everybody today.
All right. Rams.
Except them beating the Chiefs and the Niners.
And then losing to the Rams.
Losing to the Rams.
At the Lions.
I've been pretty consistent calling this one a loss. The only question is whether Jared Goff will actually have more than maybe, what, 5 incompletions in the game? He's completing all of his passes these days. And they have a good running game, and there's just so many things to like about Detroit. So I'll take the Lions in that game.
All right. Rams and Lions. Bills suffer back-to-back losses for the second time this season. Bills at Patriots.
I see some of the media in New England are now anointing Drake May as the next Tom Brady. Couldn't have seen that coming.
No, he's not the next Tom Brady. He's the next
Josh Allen.
Oh, really?
I'm not saying they're saying that.
Oh, I thought that's what they were saying.
I'm saying that.
Really? Oh, I hope you're wrong.
I don't think he's even as good as Josh, but yeah, there's not enough comparisons about May to Allen's play style.
Yeah.
He can move. He can make all the throws. He can improvise.
Right. You meant stylistic.
Yes,
doesn't mean
yes.
He's gonna
I didn't want
to
New
be...
England to get him because I like him, and I just think there's a stylistic resemblance there.
I haven't seen enough of him. His first game or two I saw, and I thought he showed... Well, he certainly showed more composure than Mac Jones ever did.
Yes, and
he looked more comfortable.
The touchdown pass to Stevenson, he's getting hauled down as he throws that. He ran for 95 yards
in that
game.
Oh, the last second throw against Tennessee, I saw the highlight
on
that.
All right, but Bills over the Patriots.
Bills over the Patriots.
Bills Jets.
Bills over the Jets.
Bills Patriots again.
Bills over the Patriots.
Okay, final record of 13-4. The chance that you get the bye week, according to New York Times playoff machine, putting in no other games, is 30% if you get to 13-4.
Kansas City has to lose.
You would need the Chiefs to lose
four games.
Well, three others, because you have them beating
the
Chiefs.
And then
once.
You have the tiebreaker.
That's so right. Three others. Should we try and find those three others?
Ooh. Good luck.
They're going to lose on the road at Denver. They're going to lose.
Are they running the table at home? Is there anybody who goes in there?
Here's their schedule. It's Broncos.
Okay.
You got to find three other losses. At Panthers.
Nope.
No chance.
Raiders at home.
No.
At Vegas.
On a Friday.
Freaky game.
That's the Black Friday game.
Nah, I doubt it.
Okay.
The Chiefs on holidays always
listen
to the Raiders.
The Chargers.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we all ready to do this again?
Come
where
on,
we think
Chargers.
The Chargers can beat them.
The Chargers
and they'll
will
have
them.
A lead with 2:45 left, and the Chargers are up by 8, and the Chiefs force overtime, win a coin toss, and win it.
No, they'll win it.
Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos.
I think I need the Chargers, Texans, and Broncos. I think those are my three.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Chargers, Steelers.
Denver
you
split.
Think the Steelers will beat them, huh?
I mean, I gotta find some.
That's the Christmas game.
That'd be a nice gift.
Yeah, Christmas is Ravens and Chiefs both playing.
They are playing. Don't they have a stretch of playing like 4 games in 10 days?
What?
Yeah, the Chiefs. Don't they have a stretch like that? 3 games in 10 days. Sorry.
I was gonna say 3 and 10 is common, right?
Sunday at
Thursday.
Cleveland, Saturday against Houston, Wednesday at Pittsburgh. It's 3 games in 10 days. I need 2 of those to be losses. 2 on the road, the home ones against a tough opponent. I need 2 of those to be losses.
All right, it's doable.
We'll see if DeAndre Hopkins starts to mesh even more than he did last night. All right, Kelce and Hopkins had 22 catches.
That's combined. Not bad.
Kelce, since Rashee Rice went out, is a monster again.
Well,
absolutely
that's
kind of
smart of Kansas
feasting.
City to understand that it's really hard to stop him.
Here are his stat lines since Rice left. 7 for 89, 9 for 70, 4 for 17, 10 for 90, and 14 for 100. Targets, 9, 10, 5, 12, and 16 since Rice got hurt.
Well, if Hopkins is legit, yikes. And their defense, Kansas City's defense is good.
The defense
too.
Is the best in the league against the run, from what I'm seeing.
Great.
All right.
All right, fellas. Nice to see you both.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Have a good day.
Howard picks the Bills. There it is. 803-0550. Chris Trapasso coming up 9 o'clock. We'll get some ideas on the trade deadline. We've seen Khalil Herbert and Za'Darius Smith traded today. We'll see if the Bills are active. A lot of us expect it. So Chris Trapasso on some ideas on defensive line, maybe some receivers, maybe some safeties. All coming up on WGR.
Be caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. Win a pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center on Wednesday, November 13th. KeyBank Center, courtesy of AEG Presents. Visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets.
Tracking trade deadline day in the NFL. A couple moves made. Za'Darius Smith, Khalil Herbert. We'll talk with Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports when we return on some ideas to bolster the Bills roster. If they do, what could they seek out? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.